we get the hour underway by welcoming back to the program the athletic administrator at Brewer High School, my colleague David Utterback. Coach Utterback, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good that you warmed up for this on the lesser shows. So you bring your A game to us today.
That's right.
You always.
Absolutely right.
You always do that. Following the high school sports situation and a development just within the last 90 minutes or so, the MPA has decided to, I guess, take the advisory from the state to heart and delay the start of the season one more week. And I guess I would ask, why?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know as if that was much of a surprise. You know, I know the state recommended and asked for a postponement, so it wasn't overly surprising to see that the MPA agreed to that. You obviously, for the MPA, they certainly need to maintain their collegial relationships with state superintendents and NSSA and, you know, the state agencies. And, you know, it sounds like they're going to work together a little bit closer on some of these things, some of the gaps that lie between the community sport guidelines, between that and what the MPA had recommended. It sounds like they're going to try to work hard for the rest of this week and probably early next week to see if there's some sort of middle ground, I guess, and then see where we go from there.
I read as much as I could of that four-page letter that was sent out from the state yesterday, and it was a masterpiece of educational doublespeak. Did you figure out what it all meant yet?
No, I really felt that early on in that letter that it was trying to be clear that the MPA really took their time in getting information to the state agencies, which I don't, you know, being in some of these committees and working towards some of this and trying to work on schedules and resolutions, that certainly isn't the case on anything that we had heard, you know, in trying to get things done, that, you know, that rightfully so, the DOE and these groups were worried about opening school, and sport was sort of a secondary conversation to that, that I don't know as if there was much attention that was put on that, just because it's, you know, it is an aspect of the school community and the educational piece. And I think one of the things that occurred was there was a miscalculation about how passionate people would be about this conversation, that that maybe people were a little bit caught off guard by how excited people are about this topic, about fall sports. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I cover enough games where I see, you know, grown-ups in the middle of a soccer game screaming in front of 1,000 strangers. And, you know, so I'm not surprised by the passion that's come from this, you know, from the decision to either postpone, delay, you know, move around or ultimately, hopefully not, cancel. I mean, it's going to draw a lot of passion from both sides of the argument.
Well, so let's talk about some of the individual sports and what we know or what we think we know. Let's start with football. It sure sounds like, from what I saw yesterday, that it would be very difficult to play football given these guidelines. And you had put on social media something to the effect that even these inter-squad scrimmages that are allowed, they can't even have the whole team participate in those. Is that right?
Yeah, if you look at the community sport guidance, you know, football is classified as a level 3, and level 3 only allows for the cohort essentially to work together. And, you know, cohorts of no more than, I think it was 30 or 35. And so the way you read that, and you know, because you saw one cohort today and you'll see a different cohort tomorrow, that cohorts is those groups of kids on that given school day. So, you know, in football, it would be the Monday and Thursday kids for Brewer High School that would be at a practice, you know, in an inner squad style practice. And then it would be the Tuesday, Friday kids. So you obviously would have difficulty going forward as a team, you know, on a Friday or trying to practice 5 days a week, you know, towards a game. So, you know, there's some stuff in there. I think cross country needs a little bit more clarity. It shows up in three different parts on that document. It's labeled as a low risk activity as cross country events. you know, and that's deemed appropriate for competition. Then it shows up in the next box as a moderate, you know, with running running events that are don't maintain social distancing. And if you've ever been to a cross country meet, it's hard to maintain social distancing in the chute and in the finish line and in some of those tight areas in the, you know, in the middle of the woods. And then it shows up at the very bottom, you know, being addressed the, you know, 5Ks are not recommended or permitted to be offered right now. And every cross-country meet in Maine is a 5K. So I think there's a little bit of work that needs to be done in that activity, too.
The one that caught a lot of people by surprise was the advisory on volleyball.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, that one, you know, you and I had spoken back in, I think, June, where I always felt that football was going to end up in the spring anyways. And that was part of my rationale for trying to flip things around a little bit was I always felt it was going to end up there. And then, you know, to ease that concern about the indoor nature and playing a volleyball, that maybe goes into some sort of, people are calling it now a floater season. I basically called it a second winter season, that you kind of push that one down the road because of the indoor, it's all indoors. I mean, you know, the state of Vermont decided they would go to outdoor volleyball. I don't see how that works. You know, it's going to make it totally different. But I was a little bit surprised on the volleyball end because, you know, we are opening aspects of society up. You know, casino, for example, is allowed to be open with 200 people, but, you know, we can't have 50 people in a gym at a school playing volleyball with no spectators. It to me, is a little bit of a head-scratcher.
Now, we're talking with David Utterback from Borough High School. Soccer, field hockey, and golf, again, these are things that a lot of young people have been participating in all summer around the state of Maine with absolutely no incidents. Why do we even have to have a delay to get those underway?
I think really the message from, sounds like the message from the State Superintendent Association was really wanted to get their feet wet with school. And there are some schools that aren't even starting back until the 14th. So I would say that would probably be why, just so that everybody's on kind of a mutual playing field as far as the academic reopening. I mean, I'm not privy to that, the complete rationale, but that would be my guess. You know, I was happy to see the governor's quote in the release from the MPA that, you know, she does support, firm believer in school sports and supports, you know, trying to find a way to come back to fall sports this year. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of conversation this week and early next week. So I'm going to remain optimistic and hopeful in that regard.
How do we get to this point? Nothing has changed in the state of Maine as far as our infection rate since schools closed, really back in June with the end of our remote years. Why couldn't all of the participants, all the stakeholders get together and decide this in July so we don't leave athletes and families and coaches and schools in limbo here in the beginning of September?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I think that the MPA tried really to you know, engage that conversation early. I don't think that they had any reason to believe they weren't going to be able to offer their fall activities you know, the way that they were, because you were seeing some summer activity occurring through the community sport guideline, and you know, best of my knowledge, there wasn't really any issues going on, even with some sports that are really under the scrutiny now with the new document, the community document that was updated. Like, you know, basketball was played all summer, so I'm not really sure. I think that the focus really was on the academic piece. Understandably, it's a big chunk. It's a big, to me, it's the most essential aspect of society is school and making sure that you have the ability to be in school. And the attention was drawn there. And I do think there was a little bit of, you know, well, it's, you know, it's just sports, and then, you know, kind of take for granted the passion that people are going to have around. But there's passion on both sides of the argument. Trust me.
Well, yeah. And as you know, it isn't just sports either. You know, I've got, as you know, drama students who are faced with remaining socially distant, even if we practice outside, can't do anything inside unless you're socially distanced and with masks on. You've got music kids who have got to figure out how to make all that work. You've got phys ed classes that have got to jump through a ton of hoops. And I guess my concern, and I don't know who, I guess the natural reaction is you want to blame somebody, and everybody's doing the best right. they can. I really believe that. But it's confusing for us as adults working in education. I can't imagine what it's like for our students and their families trying to figure out the rationale behind all of these differing guidelines and regulations.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the difference, I would say the difference between, you know, theater and music and band and those sorts of things is the modifications don't necessarily eliminate the opportunity like it would a fall sport. That, you know, the fall sport does not have the option of, you know, without the modification of just kind of picking things up when school starts. It's you know, fall sports or all athletics are on a different schedule. They're extracurricular at, you know, after school. And even with modification, there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to get into these. So I would say that would be the difference. It is, you know, I do appreciate and respect the conversation around, you know, the perceived double standard, but I would say, you know, they're not canceled. Like, you know, you still have the opportunity to offer those. It's going to look different, and it's going to look different for everybody. Playing volleyball indoors in a gym with a mask on is going to look a lot different than what it used to. And, you know, playing soccer without some of these, you know, like slide tackling and you know, there was talk that they weren't even going to do throw-ins. I mean, those are major differences in that sport for what people have been used to for a long time. So I would say that's probably the only difference, in my opinion, is that, you know, schools individually can decide whether they're going to continue those programs based on the modifications if they think they can make it work. And it's not canceled, though. The conversations that we're having around sports is, you know, we're not doing them. And that's, to me, the difference.
Yeah, and obviously the next challenge for athletic administrators is once you know what you can do, trying to piece together schedules. There have been some opt-outs. I think I saw earlier today RSU 24 is opting out of a fall season. So I guess the big challenge then is to put together schedules with those who are participating and limiting the travel as much as you can.
Yeah, and that's pretty clear in the guideline, too, in community sport that, you know, we had already really taken into account that the play was probably going to have to be regional to make this, you know, palatable for the people that were going to be making the decision on it. That, you know, like, regardless of classification, schools like Bangor, Brewer, and Hamden, although they're Class A, we're going to see a little bit more of John Babs, Herman, Old Town, maybe even in Orono, you know, Ellsworth, some of these schools in the greater geographic region. We're going to be popping up on schedules where it was going to be regionalized more so than classification and league affiliation, at least for this year. I mean, who knows how long this goes on for either. I mean, that's the other part. I think I've been really asking, if we're not going to do it now, then when's it going to be? Because even like you said, Maine's done a great job as far as the virus is concerned. You cannot question that. I mean, Maine has been one of the safest states since the get-go. We're in a really good position to even be able to talk about this. But I do think that there needs to be some sort of, if we're not going to be able to do it now, when will we be able to do it? What's that threshold for comfort level?
And in terms of football, you had what I still think was the best idea of flipping the seasons with some alterations, some modifications. Is there any chance that we could see a high school football season, even a limited number of games, take place in the spring?
I think that would be the desire. You know, I'm not part of the football committee or the interscholastic management committee. In order for there to be football in the fall of 2020, I think there would have to be major concessions to the document that was put out yesterday. I just, you know, there would have to be some sort of major revelation that changes what we saw yesterday. And I want to say that the MPA would seem committed to offering all of the activities at some point in the calendar. I know that the concern is going to be if you move football into the spring, you're basically going to have to reshuffle the deck on the spring athletics as well. So you're causing another. But if you're moving two anyways, you're going to have to do that no matter what with volleyball and football.
Interesting times. David Utterback, Brewer High School athletic administrator. Appreciate all the work you're doing to make sure students get their opportunities. And as always, thanks for coming on with us, Dave.
All right. Thanks for having me, Rich.
You betcha. David Utterback with us on Downtown.